What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But does that include the leprechaun? Today on the show, Radical Ones, it's 1995's Leprechaun 3.
For trying to steal me gold, I'll be giving you some grief.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there.
It's showtime.
What is this, trick or treat?
Too late, fool!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Deal with it.
Daddy would have gotten us Uzi.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey, get down.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes, beat
hold your fire. I'm a
My
human.
Name is Grace Jones.
Thunder. Thunder.
Thunder.
Thunder.
Counts.
Power 3
will set us free.
Power 3
will set us free. Power 3 will set us free.
But I ain't one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard from me.
No,
you have.
No more room. The dead walk here.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
I am She-Ra!
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother and mine, David, for another episode of the podcast.
Today, we'll be celebrating a little luckety Irish with a little bit of stereotyping and a little bit of potato eating, a little bit of a nod back to some of our heritage.
What do you know about Irish people? Potatoes.
Yeah, but apparently leprechauns really love potatoes. And yeah, that's what we know about it. That's what we apparently know, because, you know, the stereotypes of potatoes, excessive drinking, being drunks, that's what really kind of stuck out for me from the movie. So Hold on to your shillelaghs.
These movies up until this point now have come out every year so far. So in our show, yes, we've been doing them now for 3 years, but Leprechaun 1, 2, and 3 were consecutive every year. So they had to come up with a plot every year for one of these movies. And it does show, I swear, David, by this one, it's showing that I swear they're just throwing random things in. A little Freddy Krueger, a little Jason Takes Manhattan. Throw it all together and we got Leprechaun 3.
I was quite amused. I watched this with my husband and I said, Ryan said, you know, be ready for it. It's like a really bad, it's not a B film. It's more of a D film, but the cinematography is pretty good, but we laughed at quite a few things.
There was some funny, we'll get into it for sure. Leading up to this, of course, we're usually about a week or two ahead when we record.
Yes.
This one actually is coming right before the week. We're on the Saturday before this is dropping. And recently this week, Harriet the Spy, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Pete and Pete star Michelle Trachtenberg has sadly passed away at 39 years old, born a month before me, David. What we do know is she was dealing evidently with a liver issues, that she recently had a liver transplant. And it does seem like with people coming forward, friends and everything, they're saying she didn't look the same, but she still had her humor and she knew there was a possibility that this was going to happen. So for the last, I think almost like 2 years, she's been suffering with depression, you know, going through all of this. So because she is such a part of nostalgia, David, many people, I kind of grew up alongside her, literally. Pete and Pete, I could just remember.
I know her as Dawnie.
Dawnie, the key, Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. The Buffy's little sister. And then I also know her as when she shunned you.
In real life.
In real life, she shunned you.
But you know what? I was just telling David off camera, like, whatever. I honestly feel horrible.
Because she's a human being. I mean, regardless of that, maybe she was having a bad day. I mean, we jest about it. Yeah, it kind of does burn your butt when you meet somebody that you really like, or a celebrity or a sports figure or somebody that, or anybody that you kind of look up to or really like, or you have an image of them and they fall flat of that image. It always bothers you. We really make jokes about these things. Obviously, we never wish this poor woman any ill will, and I never want to wish anybody to go through an illness of any kind, because it's horrible. And it's when your body itself has, you know, people, when they have the illnesses like cancer, and you feel like your body has literally betrayed you in a way, and the agony, the pain, and to watch yourself, you know, she wasn't like an A++ like movie star, but I'm sure she had resources where she could keep herself looking good and be able to get more roles and things like that.
Matter of fact, I mean, we didn't speak about it on the show, but Sarah Michelle Gellar recently announced that they are working on a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot. And I just saw this morning, David. Michelle Trachtenberg was in talks to return to Buffy, the reboot. She was incredibly hopeful about it, a source says. Sarah Michelle obviously felt that the reboot would need her as much as they needed Sarah. The insider aired that Trachtenberg had a pivotal role in the original series, and everyone was aware of her recent health struggles. They were hoping that perhaps casting her as Sarah's sister in a reboot would help her overcome any issues she was having. She was not cast out by any means, they continue. Very sad. Very sad.
I mean, really, the character Dawn in Buffy really changed the whole arc of the whole series. You know, she died for her, you know, sister. Buffy died for her sister, which changed the whole thing and introduced you to the evil god, Glory, which I, you know, love. It's a tragedy. It's sad. And she was very young, and that's really also, you know, when someone lives a good life, you know, and when I get to the end of my life, hopefully a very long life, I always say it, it's never going to be enough. But when someone is so young, and then you say to yourself, they didn't get to live out, I mean, she was 39. If she lived a normal life expectancy, she could have lived to like 80 years old, you know, 70s, 80s, and it was cut in half, and it's so sad. And I know there's a lot of things that are out there about the industry and how she was abused, possibly during her time in Nickelodeon, which is defunct, by the way, if everybody doesn't know that Nickelodeon Studios is defunct. There is
it needs to be burnt down, I think.
I mean, and all of these people that are coming out from like all these shows, I mean, I don't know if that played a role. I don't know if that played a role. And I don't know the unfortunate timing of her death, how it's going to play a role in the reboot of Buffy, whether or not it will actually harm it in the sense, obviously, this pivotal character, but boost it in the sense of, this character that was going to come back to this really well-known series, it might actually put it in the forefront if it, you know what I'm trying to say,
honor it. Maybe they could honor the character.
In a morbid way. Maybe, like, they'll bring back Elijah Dishku as Faith to kind of like, I know that was something they were playing with, but they weren't sure about, maybe to balance out having another strong female character on the show, because we know at the end, Dawn really did step up to the plate.
Yeah, I'm picturing her even fighting with swords and stuff,
so
like,
she
had
did
no
step
power.
Up to, she did step up to the plate, and she did not ascend into a slayer. So she was an average person doing extraordinary things.
Buffy, please. Listen to me. You told me I had to be strong. And I've tried. But it's been so hard without you. I'm sorry. I promise I'll do better. I will. If you're with me, stay with me, please. I need you to live. Live.
She definitely made her mark. Yeah, we just want to honor her.
I will say, even when she was doing when they had that reunion cover, was it what was it on?
Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Weekly. I could tell she didn't look quite right.
But there was like 3 years ago, she looked like a completely
I know, but even
person.
Then and during that cover, she didn't look quite right to me. I looked like, and I thought, well, maybe she changed. She had lost a bunch of, you know, age does that to you. People's bodies change. But I was like, she just seemed a little off at that point to me too. You know, so knowing that she had this battle with liver failure, I guess. It's sad. It's sad. And rest in peace. As much as we, you know, we did not wish her blood. We never wished anybody harm. I've never wished anybody harm. Except for Siskel and Ebert. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh my God, no.
And he was dead already. He was dead already.
It's not like Thundercats where you wish harm to the villains.
Oh, they're cartoons, Ryan.
Just take them out.
No, well, that's Thundercat preservation. Nobody better lay a hand on my Bengali or lion, huh?
On my Butterfinger.
So anyway, rest in peace, Michelle. Gone too soon. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is that she had the opportunity, you know, she has a body of work that people can, you know, as common folk like us, we don't have a body of work. I mean, we have a little bit of a body of work. We have our podcast that people can go back to. And hopefully as long as the world is running and the internet is going, people can come back to us. We're on our
fifth season. I actually just listened to our second episode of Gem and the Holograms. Yeah. God, the microphone. We need to redo the whole first season. But anyway.
Las Vegas, a gambler's dream, and a dreamer's paradise. They're all about to meet their worst nightmare.
Look out, Vegas. I'm taking over!
Now, the leprechaun's back in the city that never sleeps. And he will never rest until he reclaims his pot of gold.
Belongs to me, this gold I smell. Whoever's got it's going to hell. I want me shilling.
Hello?
If we destroy the gold, we get rid of the leprechaun once and for all.
Leprechaun 3. The third time's the charm.
Let's talk about Leprechaun 3, something a little funny. This actually surprised me. Like I said earlier, I was expecting it to be super horrible. If you're taking it in the context to which it is made, it is a horror comedy. It is in poor taste. It is sexually explicit in a way. It is stereotypical. There is a lot that it is stereotyped, but if you take it for what it is and look at it through the lens of crude humor, toilet humor, you would say, and that it's a horror comedy, and you have that kind of like biting, like Freddy Krueger makes jokes when he's about to kill people.
This is so funny. Kind
of thing. In that vein, I think you'll enjoy it for what it is. I mean, we do this every year because this now became our unofficial tradition to do a Leprechaun movie. We're not 100% Irish, but we do have Irish in our background. So we claim that we're allowed to do stereotype horrible things because we're part Irish, so people can't say anything to us.
We got a lot of years left of these Leprechaun movies.
So we got a lot of Leprechaun left. I mean, I've heard that he went to space. It's like
that's our
like
next
Jason
one.
Went to space.
Oh my God.
In the hood. That hits hard.
Wait.
In the hood.
How you go from space to the hood to back to the hood.
I laughed. And if I laughed, if my husband laughed, which he's always stone cold, wah, wah, with everything.
So. Okay, so this is Leprechaun 3, 1995. One night in Vegas, a pawn shop owner purchases a statue of a leprechaun from a mysterious stranger. He ignores the stranger's warning to never remove the statue's golden medallion and takes it for himself. Instantly, the statue transforms into the murderous leprechaun, who vows to kill anyone who takes his gold. Scott McCoy, oh, he's Irish too, that comes back, who unwillingly takes a gold coin from the pawn shop, and Tammy, Scott's new friend, are the first on the list. This is Warwick David's favorite, David, movie of the leprechauns. There's two taglines: Welcome to Vegas, your losing streak is about to begin, and Welcome to Vegas, the odds are you won't leave alive. We've both gone to Vegas at this point, David, in our lives. I could see this taking place in Vegas just based on what happens there. It literally happens in Vegas. This could totally happen. You could picture the leprechaun walking down the street, not even batting an eye.
I mean, I could see a leprechaun walking down the street in New York and not bat an eye, really. Killing somebody. I mean, and people not even stopping, just walking over the person.
Welcome to New York. Again, Jason takes Manhattan.
New Yorker, who
Welcome
cares?
Welcome to New York.
I have to get to their taxi before someone else grabs it.
Would you believe the movie was filmed in 14 days?
Yeah, I would.
Because, David, it was the first to be filmed direct-to-video, but it was the highest-selling independent direct-to-video of 1995, selling 55,000 units.
What else was it up against?
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Really?
I honestly felt that. I felt the cheapness to this. I felt a little cheapness.
You felt
to
the
this.
Cheapness? Okay. I felt that it was filmed pretty well. I think the cinematography itself was not, I didn't feel like it was subpar as far as the filming itself, like how it was filmed. I didn't go, oh God, this is so horrible. Like I don't like, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, oh God, this is really, really poorly filmed. I didn't feel like it was poorly filmed.
No, not poorly filmed at all. But I will say that age helps it. Because if this was filmed poorly nowadays, it might look a little cheaper. But I feel like you could definitely see that they try to cut around things. Like there's a thing in here, it says a morgue scene was literally just a kitchen in a hotel. Like things like that, that they're like cutting costs like that. But really, in the scheme of things, it is quite fun.
Fine suit of clothes. Lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, those shoes, do they come in blue suede? I really like them, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, man, you do that pretty good. Next time, make sure you get paid for it.
Is this the same leprechaun? It can't be, because he ends and dies in different ways in every movie. I guess leprechauns just look like Warwick David if you're not transforming into one as a human, basically.
I don't want to get ahead of this. There is a part where there is someone who is very small sitting at a, you see the back of him.
Someone said that was a cameo.
Is that him in a cameo?
Good eye. Yes, definitely.
And also there is another person, if you noticed, I'm going to give you a little trivia for Ryan. A sister that worked at a auction house that was
yes,
a waitress.
Hannah.
Yes,
Hannah,
the waitress. There was a waitress that was at a place where the guy was eating every type of potato product, by the way, racist, stereotyping. Potato.
So.
That she was the waitress. And I said, I put waitress with the potatoes, worked at Buckland's, LOL.
Hannah, a first season demon, yes. Always goes back to Charmed, as we always say.
Baked potato, broiled potato, French fries, potato skin, potato salad, and six potato pancakes. Anything else?
There once was a lady of Totten, whose taste grew perverted and rotten. She cared not for steaks or for pastries and cakes, but lived upon penis au gratin.
Metallica.
So a man with a fake arm, I wrote, and an eye patch.
That had a tattoo that said Lucky, and the guy goes, an Indian gentleman who runs this pawn shop, whose name is Gupta, which is also a very stereotype character, like a very much and almost like the guy that runs
The
Quickie Mart at The Simpsons, very much that, almost that vein, a little more respectable, not as ridiculous sounding.
Until David the Leprechaun bites him and mentions he likes Indian food.
He said he loves Indian food so spicy, and he bites the guy's ears and big toe, and then the guy goes, your gold belongs to Gupta.
You know what, though? For the first, I want to say, 25 minutes, we're stuck in this pawn shop with this character going toe-to-toe with this leprechaun. By the way, $20, he was convinced, David, to buy that statue, that guy. $20. He literally says, this random man, don't touch the medallion. Instantly, Gupta takes the medallion off and says it's cheap.
Oh, my, my, my. What is this horrible thing?
He's a good luck charm.
Yes, I can see it's working very well.
Oh, whatever you do, don't touch the medallion.
No, I won't. I am giving you $20. Goodbye.
The leprechaun wakes up, and then, yes, I wrote, bites his ear and top of the toe off. I noticed his appreciation of shoes remained. He mentioned something about the shoes.
He loves a good pair of shoes. Nice leather.
Who are you?
I'm a leprechaun, me lad. And you're a greedy thief. For trying to steal me gold, I'll be giving you some grief. Have a lie down, lad. Nice leather. I appreciate a good pair of shoes.
So again, is this the leprechaun? Or is he reborn? Speaking about being reborn, is he just reborn every time?
Well, how
just...
did he die in the last one?
You mean with, he's dead? That woman, I was just thinking about her. He's
dead?
I don't even remember the last time. There's a whole thing at the end that the characters from part two were supposed to be in this, the whole movie of this part three. Didn't happen.
Well, did you notice that the two characters, the main characters, Tammy and Scott, are very much the two characters. However, I will say this. Tammy is a young lady that is going to work at a casino, the Lucky Shamrock, right? It's called?
Yes.
And her car, her Volkswagen Bug, breaks down. And this guy, Scott, who's on his way to LA, he's a college student. He's on his way.
He's not a college student.
Well, first of all, Tammy
is 75 years old.
I wrote, Tammy is supposed to be playing a 20-year-old, some 20-something-year-old. She's closer to 40.
Beyond, yes.
Can you look her up? See how well, because I don't want to insult the woman.
He was 27 for sure.
Well, he was playing a 23-year-old, so that's not bad.
No, he wasn't, because she says you're under 21. You can't.
Oh, okay. So what was Tammy? How old was Tammy in real life when she played? We have
Tammy.
To put this to rest, because my husband, I said she looks like she's in her early 40s. My husband's like, no, she's got to be in her early 30s.
I would say 30s too.
I was being sarcastic. She didn't look that bad.
You know, we love to bring that. That is so us. We love to mention, you are not giving us a teenager here. You're giving us... She looked like, though, she would be in other things. Didn't she look like she could have been on a sitcom in the 90s as like a sister or something?
Tammy's car breaks down on the side of the road. Scott almost hits her trying to pull over. He sees this pretty girl in a kind of an alluring outfit, pulled over. She says she needs to go to work, and he says he'll take her there. She offers him money.
$10.
$10.
Which in 1995.
No. He said, I'll do it for free. She goes. And she's a little snarky. She's funny. And he takes her to the Lucky Shamrock.
I'll give you $10 if you give me a ride to work.
Forget it. You don't have to pay me. Where do you work?
Chicago.
Yeah, got me. Chicago. That's very good. I would have taken you there too.
He says, I've never been to a casino. Obviously, he's made a connection.
She was 25, actually.
Well, you looked very mature for your age. You were mature 25. You peaked, girl.
And not as much as he. He was, oh, Scott.
Anyway, I mean, thank God he turned to the leprechaun, because when he came back, he looked a lot better than he did.
Yeah, you know what? It gave you appreciation.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, I digress. So he takes her to the Lucky Shamrock, and he says he's never been inside a casino. He's trying to extend their time together because he has an attraction to Tammy. So she says she'll sneak him in. Do not gamble. Do not mess around. Go get your fill. She says, this den of iniquity. Go around, see everything you want to see, and then on your way back to school.
I've never been inside a real casino.
Oh, forget it. You gotta be 21.
I know. Well, I thought maybe you could sneak me in so I could see what it's like inside.
What do you think? This is like Disneyland or something? I could lose my job for that. My boss could lose his license. And you will lose your shirt.
Right. I didn't think about that. I'm sorry.
He gets enthralled, which is a good, how do we put this? Which is the big thing about the movies, the Leprechaun movies. It's very much
wide-eyed.
No, here's the thing. Like, I'm very much a person that tries to find the redemption or the meaning, the hidden meanings or the not so hidden meanings. That's, you know, when we do Thundercats, for example, I'm always about the message. And the overwhelming message in all the Leprechauns movies is that men's greed is what puts them in these situations. Like, okay, so you and I, Ryan, let's say there's a pot of gold and we see a leprechaun. Are you going to run to the leprechaun to get the gold? Are you going to run your ass the opposite direction?
Yeah, of course.
We would never get our fingers bit off or our ears bit off, because I'd be like, Mr. Leprechaun, I didn't touch your gold. Like, bow down. You take your gold. Sorry, I've never touched it. And run the other way. And probably the leprechaun would know that we didn't touch his gold, and he would probably move on, right? Probably, if he wasn't feeling vengeful that day. These people run to the danger. You see an evil leprechaun that is killing people, and you run because your greed. And that is the fable, or not the fable, whatever the meaning behind
the
these
moral.
Things, the moral of these movies has always been men's greed is his undoing. And that's why I can appreciate this movie, besides the satire and the vulgarity and the funny stuff, the toilet humor. I like that it's basically saying men's greed is what puts us in these situations in many occasions.
Right.
Men's lust, men's greed, men's stupidity, like a moth to a flame, run the other way.
Not that it means anything, but this leprechaun is not nice looking by any means. he also looks wicked and creepy. So yeah, they're just playing with fire. There's that subplot that's going on in the casino, but then there's also, again, this subplot going on in this pawn shop. And at one point, Gupta just so happens to have an early 90s CD-ROM with Folklore. I mean, I get it at this point. How are you going to get exposition? But my God, I love that throwback.
Good day to you. The name's O'Reilly, and I'm here to tell you about leprechauns. Legend hath it that they were once magical elves in ancient times who became obsessed with riches and gold.
So he's learning the exposition about leprechauns, the gold, the wish. Evidently, the coin gives wishes now.
One coin. No, that happened before, didn't it?
No, I think it was just always like, I never saw anyone transform or anything like this. A cut back to the casino. So yes, Tammy's there. She tells him, Scott, to not do anything. He happens to have a check from his parents for college.
$23,000 check that should cover his college tuition. I wish. That wouldn't even cover that wouldn't even cover your Starbucks orders today.
The casino's scummy manager owner happens to see the check and goes, are you young enough to be in here? I'm like, first
old enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Are you old enough to be in here? Get your eyes checked, sir. And then he looks at the check and he's like, oh yeah, of course. So we have this other character. Her name is Tammy, did we say?
Yeah. No, Tammy's the
younger. That's right. Excuse me.
Loretta.
And I feel like it's okay to say this now because we see what the actress's body really looks like. The whole entire time I'm like, is this woman's breasts down to her belly button? Like, I thought that was part of the costume, I think. Because they kept mentioning that she was fat and I'm like, oh my God, she's got like breasts hanging down and all these things. Because later on, when she does transform, they're not hanging anymore. So I feel like they gave her these older droopy breasts.
Part of this thing is that Loretta does not like Tammy. There's also a magician who's like very much David Copperfield.
But he's gay?
But he's not really, is he?
Didn't she call him, Tammy called him a fruit or something?
He's very flamboyant, I guess, in a way, and he's kind of a jerk, but he tells Loretta that he keeps Tammy around because she looks good in the outfit. So she's basically the eye candy. But yet she knows how to do more magic tricks than Fazio, who is the magician, the resident magician.
What time is it?
It's after 7. Where's Tammy?
I don't know, damn it. She's got work to do.
What do you keep her around for anyway? She's not worth a damn.
She's got a way of filling out a costume.
I could look just as good, you know. Why don't you hire me?
20 years ago, Loretta, or should I say 20 pounds ago?
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Loretta is very jealous of Tammy, but she keeps getting called fat and this and that. So here we are. You see that
she's got this curly hair. She looks like she's an older woman, but I don't think she is.
They make her look. They must have given her prosthetics to make her look heavier and not as attractive. They did really bad like makeup, like painted her eyebrows really poorly and gave her like frizzy, crazy hair. Made her look like trashier.
I'll take the hair once we get to the transformation. So she's playing this very stereotypical. Oh yeah, come on. Oh, win.
Come on, honey. You're gonna win big. You're gonna win big. Roll the dice. Oh, oh, oh.
Get him down. Get him down before the wheel goes round. We're going to have somebody lucky before the night is over. You feeling lucky? You feeling lucky, sugar? What you going to do with all that, huh?
I believe I'll try this one.
Dangerous man. I like it. And the wheel goes round and round. No more bets, no more bets.
And Scotty loses all of his money.
And she says, go over to the pawn shop across the street. Tell him Loretta sent you. You'll win your money back, baby. I know you will.
Because he's got a watch and he's like, that's my grandfather's watch. And she's like,
honor your grandfather's memory. He'll be happy when you hit it big.
Fight done. I'm ruined. I'm finished.
What, are you kidding me? You do. You're going to make it big. Place your bets.
What?
Trust me. Bad streak of luck like that, no way you're gonna lose. Get him down before the
really?
Wheel goes round. Oh, yeah, trust me.
But I don't have any more money.
Nice watch there. Could bring a nice chunk of change.
My grandpa gave me this watch. For graduation.
Make him proud. Make a comeback. Win. Pawn shop across the street. Tell him Loretta sent you. Get him down. Get him down. She's dropping.
Meanwhile, you see her pressing a button under the roulette table that, you know, makes people lose. So he lost
all
the money.
Why do I feel like, I know they'll never admit this, but I feel like this rings true in some sense.
Oh, God, yes. Anybody that tells you that it's not rigged, it's completely rigged. You know how many times those machines, how many times a slot machine spins and you're telling me the chances of winning something yeah. is that impossible? There's only so many positions that the slots the machine goes in. Like how many, like...
Ding, 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 ding. But then they get really, some of them get really advanced. You got to have like...
17 different yeah. lines and this, yeah, I get it. We're not here for that, Ryan. So anyway, he goes across the street and calls the police and about Gupta being killed because at some point Gupta has like a...
They're drinking together.
Tries to hunt down the leprechaun. And they get into this battle, and the leprechaun goes to town on him, beats him with a bat, goes crazy on him.
It chokes him with the phone cord, too.
As he's trying to call for help. And then young Scott goes in, and there's the coin, the one coin that Gupta found, actually. This is the reason why
yes.
the leprechaun came back to the pawn shop, is because one of his coins fell, and Gupta picked it up and was like, ha-ha, I'm going to, you know, that's when he's like, your gold belongs to Gupta. I'm going to get the rest of them. So he picks up the gold coin, and he sees on the computer screen the leprechaun folklore. And at that point, the leprechaun comes back, and he bites Scott.
Leaving a green outline.
And then Scott has the amulet, right? And touches it to him by chance because they're together. And some of the leprechaun's blood falls into the wound.
That's it.
We've
seen enough zombie movies to know that bite.
The bite and the blood, true. So you have it where Scott, as he's holding the gold coin, wishes to be back on a winning streak at the casino.
Just shows up there.
And he's at the roulette table again with Loretta, and he is winning. Loretta notices that he puts the gold coin on top of the stack of his chips, and it literally moves to the winning. No matter how many times she presses the button under the table to mess up, to have him not win.
Of course, the man comes over, the owner,
Mitch.
And he's like, Mitch. And she goes, something went wrong. And that accent, something went wrong. I don't know, something went wrong.
About had it with you, Loretta.
I don't know. Look what you told me. Something went wrong.
Yeah, well, you better get the money back or something will go wrong with you. You know what I mean?
And Mitch is like, you better win that money back or you'll be, and he basically threatens to kill her.
The thing actually breaks though under the table, the little stopper from that she's pressing the button, completely falls off. So he ends up, because he's a high roller, they want to fix the table, but they're like, have a free room on us, you know? So he has his room in this hotel, which, ooh, David, everything is neon pink. It speaks to me so much. I need to be in 1995 Vegas, evidently. In the meantime, Loretta goes, the coin, it's got powers.
It's got powers.
What are you talking about? What kind of powers?
It's got powers.
So she calls Fazio and tells him she wants him to go and get the coin from the
Fazio, that's the name. Thank you, Fazio.
And Fazio goes into Scott's room. He rummages through his clothes. He sees a leopard outfit. He goes, I'm keeping this. And then he finds the coin. And then Scott comes out of the bathroom. And yes, this was a little homoerotic nature to this a little bit with Fazio. And then there is also
I found this part. Loretta calls him a flaming fagola, she calls him.
Oh, flaming fagola. Okay.
You flaming fagola!
Is that supposed to be
How
Italian?
How dare she?
Is that supposed to be Italian?
Yeah.
She's a New Yorker. You're a flaming fagola. Flaming fagola. Let me tell you about it. You're a flaming fagola.
Oh my God.
There's a subplot where there is a guy, a mafioso type guy.
Oh, that has
a really butch built, like strong guy minion that is roughing up Mitch for money that Mitch owes him.
Wearing a thong, he says, or something like
that. And there's definitely...
Or a jock.
A sexual, like they're definitely gay and they have a sexual like energy towards each other, but like it's not explored. And the guy's like a big dumb jock, but like he's,
yes,
the, he's the muscle.
Yes.
And the other guy's like a distinguished, you
mafia.
Know,
mafia. Yeah.
The boxes keep crawling up my butt. I hate that. I go with jockeys now.
Yeah. You know, it makes me feel like a sissy.
Yeah. Can't hang like you really want to, but...
How do you want to hang?
Loose. I want to be comfortable.
I like a little support.
Do you?
Yeah. Feels How's good. My tie look?
Fine.
Yeah.
Good.
So there's a plot there. There's a sub story there that Mitch obviously owes money.
The leprechaun has escaped now the pawn shop, and he meets an Elvis impersonator. Or he does
an Elvis thing with him. You have to kind of read off or even add if it's possible.
These bitches
add some of the things because he rhymes everything all of his like.
These dirty sons of bitches or something like that.
He's like, to scratch their riches, I'm going to kill these dirty sons of bitches, you know, or something. He always says these like ridiculous lines and it's always rhyming and it's always ridiculous.
Ah, lovely golden palaces, completely full of riches. I'll rip them off and rob them blind, those dirty sons of bitches.
I'm going to kill you because I'm going to thrill you. Like, it's always like these like really bizarre.
And who throws the leprechaun right after this out of the window? Is it the mafioso guy?
No, it's Scott.
Oh, okay. Yes,
so,
right.
So the leprechaun's going around Vegas and he's excited. He's like, oh, I like that. The golden nugget. I like gold nuggets. He's like going around like he's excited because this is his playground at this point. He's like, he smells the greed in the air. He smells the money in the air, the gold. This is very
smells
much.
Smells the sex in the air like Rihanna and Britney Spears.
Na, 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 na. Come on. Come on. Na, 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 na.
Smell in the air. I love the smell of it.
And he's like, I can smell my shilling. He refers to it as a shilling.
Yes. We forgot to mention Fazio does a smoke trick to get out of the room. I love that. He does like when he gets the coin, he just to get like a
But he's still
magician.
There.
But
shows
yeah,
he's
but
a horrible
I love
magician,
that, though.
Yes.
I just love that. I thought that was
so
funny.
So you see that Fazio brings the coin back to Loretta. He says that there's no magic in the coin. They fight over it. Loretta grabs it.
He says, Loretta, if you want magic, bend over. I'll pull a rabbit out of your ass.
Yeah, this is the kind of humor. And then you see Mitch come over and grabs the coin from Loretta and says...
He wants Tammy. He wants
he
Tammy.
Says, we want
Buffy. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Everybody should know. Anybody that watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the actual movie with Christy Swanson, another rooter.
I was going to mention her earlier. I held my tongue.
Mitch grabs the coin from Loretta and he goes, yeah, okay. If this is such a thing, I wish Tammy would be with me or sleep with me right now or something. And then Tammy gets taken by the coin.
But she almost turns into the fairy from Scrooge that we does. Like she punches him. She's like,
yeah, I didn't get all that. So Tammy throws herself at Mitch, is like, I want you now. Take me right now on the floor. Like,
and Loretta's like, oh my God, this coin, it's got powers.
It's got powers.
It's got powers.
Take me on the floor.
Then Mitch looks at Loretta and goes, fatso. And as they're walking away to go to Mitch's, this is one of the best lines in the movie. She goes, Loretta goes, mandatory drug testing for all employees. So she thinks that Tammy has taken a massive amount of drugs. And that's why she's coming up to Mitch.
I thought that was a good one, too.
mandatory drug testing for all employees. That's it.
That was like so funny. But she says, she goes, mandatory drug testing for all employees. So there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of good humor, like funny humor in this. I don't know. I feel like if someone likes The Office, likes Nightmare on Elm Street, likes the different types, I think they would really
enjoy.
But you
know what? I like this a little more than a hardcore, like a Nightmare on Elm Street, because at least this stays tongue-in-cheek. The leprechaun gets thrown out by Scott at one point when he's attacked. There's a doll. I mean, it is a doll.
So you have the leprechaun who is systematically going through sniffing out his shilling. So he's going to all the places the shilling has been.
He's always off by one person.
Like he's right behind it. So he went to the roulette table. Then he went to Scott's room and Scott fought him. And then he pushed him out the window. Scott calls the security and goes, "You people have leprechauns in this hotel attacking me." They hang up on him because they think he's nuts or high on drugs.
Yeah, give me hotel security. Yeah. I'd like to report a leprechaun in your hotel. No, a leprechaun. Yeah, a little green guy. He tried to kill me! Hello?
So then you have this point where, I don't remember exactly where in the movie, but Scott finds Loretta at some point. Loretta's like, says that Tammy is with Mitch. She's gonna boink him or whatever. She says something crude.
It's got powers!
But in the meantime, before this happens, Loretta sneaks into Mitch's room and steals the gold coin out of his pocket while he's fooling around with Tammy.
Which stops the magic, but also we get the same thing from our lead last time, stops the top about to come off.
This is because she was smart, because she didn't want to ruin the rest of her career. Tammy's like, "What did you do to me? What did you do?" And she knees him in the crotch and leaves, and he tells her, "You're fired." So she's going down. Loretta has the coin, and she wishes to be young and beautiful and be thin and all this stuff. Everything that I wish for every single day. But I don't have a gold coin, unfortunately.
I don't like the transformation, David.
She's like, "Please give me Ozempic."
Thank God.
Before there was Ozempic.
I wish I was a man so I could screw myself.
Loretta?
That's right, sweetheart. Little old me. Didn't I tell you one of these days I was going to turn it all around?
But how?
Magic. All I had to do was wish for it. Pretty. Yours. Oh, man, Chevitz. Look at those tits. I wish I was a man so I could just screw myself right into the floor. And I dare you to feel that ass, Fazio. That's prime.
All you had to do was wish for it?
You got it.
I know, she's loving herself. So she gets transformed. In the meantime, the leprechaun uses the television in Mitch's screen to create, which only could be described as...
a sex robot.
So here's the best part. A woman comes out of the TV screen and takes her top off and starts this teased up blonde hair, like porno looking woman is fooling around with Mitch. And behind him, the TV screen is the leprechaun and all of these different funny, like Miss Cleo, you know, fortune telling, a preacher. And they keep saying the word Mitch. If you've been in an accident, like he's an attorney, all this stuff. And he keeps mentioning Mitch and saying he's, you know, you're going to die basically, or you're going to be this and that.
Feeling sick? Stubbed your toe? Call this lawyer. I'll fix your wound. Agony is my business. I'll fight for you. Even you, bitch.
Oh, excuse me. Did you hear my name mentioned?
No.
Oh, good.
And then at some point, Mitch is
very
trying to,
Freddy, isn't this very,
yes,
Freddy?
Yes, tries to get up, and the woman turns into Sophia the AI robot. Do you know what I'm talking about? She turns into Sophia the AI robot. That's famous right now. That goes around the world. That's so. And then she electrocutes him.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sophia from Hanson Robotics.
It was so look scary, that up. Though.
Side by side, look at them. It's Sophia, the AI robot. This is a foretelling of what Sophia is going to be doing. She electrocutes him.
She's on top, straddling him on top, holding him down. But there's wires. It's crazy. I love this.
So then, in the meantime, some point, Tammy and Scott come in because Scott wants to defend Tammy's honor and tell Mitch off. They see him dead. And then the gangster with his butch guy comes in, his muscle guy comes in, and he goes, "What the hell is going on
because
here?"
Leprechaun. Khan is on top of the bed with him dead with this robot.
What the hell's going on here?
And then the leprechaun shows these two guys, what's up? And the sort of distinguished gangster guy tells him, how was Judy Garland in real life? Referring to him as a munchkin from Wizard of Oz. And he beats the hell out of him. I don't think he kills him, but he beats the hell out of him.
His shillelagh takes the eye out of the
He pokes the eye out of the guy too, which is so sad.
He also makes money come out of his mouth at one point.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like little nuances we're probably not...
Well, Loretta has this transformation, right? And then, honestly, what did you think when she did that? That short hair, which is her, I guess, her real hair, right? This short haircut.
I didn't dislike it. I thought it was very much appropriate for the time. It was like a
pixie cut.
But
did she acted like she was the most gorgeous woman in the world?
But that's confidence.
I'm thin and I have short hair. I am beautiful.
And she goes, she transforms. And she goes to Fazio and says, look at this. And then she says, if she wishes she was a man, she'd have sex with herself, touch herself. And then Fazio takes the coin.
It was that good. It was that good.
Fazio takes the coin and wishes to be the best magician in the world.
Because he was, not a great one.
The leprechaun makes a visit to the newly transformed Loretta and makes her whole body blow up. Her lips become like duck lips.
Not a monk, like you're saying, about now. This would be in now.
She becomes a Kardashian.
And she's screaming her babies, her breasts, because when they're growing, my babies.
He makes them, he makes everything, and he does this, his humor, he says whatever he does is his rhyming. He makes it basically explode. Her body keeps swelling up until her whole body pops.
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, like when he was feeding the girl at the table.
Yes, exactly.
That was anorexic. Absolutely. So he kills her. Makes her explode. Everything keeps like getting bigger, expanding on her. Poor Loretta. And then you have where he is going after now Fazio. So he's closing in on this coin.
Fazio is in the middle of doing a set piece.
And then the leprechaun shows up and everyone thinks it's part of the act. And he's like, what are you doing? Fast forward, it pans to the fact that now Fazio is inside the magic box with a sawing in half. Trick.
Right, which is a classic, but it does look really gruesome in this.
And the guy, the leprechaun, is hyping up the thing. You want me to do it?
Thing. And they're screaming, cheering.
So he literally saws him in half with a chainsaw, and there's blood coming out of his mouth, and this and that. And
he drops the coin.
He drops it.
And now a word of warning: if any of you in the audience are the least bit squeamish, I suggest you leave the theater. Fazio's illusions are very, very real.
And then you have Tammy and Scott who end up coming in, trying to get the coin. And then we have the battle between the two leprechauns. Because at some point, Scott transforms. He becomes starts to become grotesque. There's also a part which we did not
mention. A Geico caveman looking-esque. He's not a full-on leprechaun.
But there is a point where Scott goes into the hospital. Tammy brings him to the hospital.
This, which evidently is a sink in a hotel, abandoned hotel. First off, David, we have talked about this from the very beginning. People working in a morgue, listening to music and eating. We got Czech music, Czech eating. You have to eat if you work in a morgue. We have said this since Friday the 13th, part 4 probably. Always have to be eating in a morgue. They get to this morgue for some reason, like you're saying. How does Tammy know to grab that amulet? Can I ask? She sees an amulet.
No, because it repels Scott at some point.
Oh, so she realizes. Okay, so she grabs that amulet. She holds on to it. He turns more and more into this creature. And again, potatoes. He cannot stop eating potatoes. So he says, I smell my brother from hell at one point, because he now has this connection with the leprechaun. Scott burns the pot of gold, which kills the leprechaun and reverts Scott back to his normal form. As Scott and Tammy leave the casino, she reveals she found the coin. Though tempted to make a wish, Tammy decides she is happy with what she has with Scott, then discards the coin and leaves the casino together. So in this one, they literally burn the pot of gold, which sends him blasting off into the sky and then caught on fire.
When they look at the computer with the folk law, if you destroy the gold, you destroy the leprechaun. leprechaun because that's where his power comes from. There's also a point where they says that leprechauns are very territorial. They don't want to exist in the same area. And the leprechaun at some point like offers his hand to basically Cloud and says, we can do this together. We're both evil. We can be together. And Scott's like, no, we can't. And then he almost gets tempted with the gold coins, and Tammy's his like Jiminy Cricket, his voice, he's like, he's lying. He just wants to tempt you.
We're like me and you, evil as hell all the way through.
No, Scott. He's not like you. Don't listen to him.
She's right. I'm not like you. I'll never be like you.
Put it down, lad. You can't hurt me. You should know that by now. Think of the gold, Scott. The power it could give you.
The gold, Scott. His power lies in the gold.
We'll share it. I promise.
Share this, pal.
So he ends up melting the gold, essentially, with the flamethrower, which is what part of Fazio's act. So thank God Fazio was stupid and had this flamethrower as part of his act, because they would, how do you destroy gold coins? So I'm assuming they
even
said
that I don't even think,
I don't think the melting point of gold would be, gold is a very soft metal, but I don't know what the melting point.
As we learned from Thundercats as well.
Well, yes. We speak your name. I love it. I'll take it all. I guess it's, I obviously you want good to triumph over evil. The leprechauns are really mean little thing. There, at some point, Tammy was going to use the gold coin to wish Scott back to
his normal self. Yes.
You know, there's also a point in this, there's a point when Scott goes to the hospital and the doctor wants to charge him because they find the money that he wanted the thing. They're like, we'll start with a test that start with A, and then we'll start with the test that start with B and C, and we'll charge him this and that.
Yeah, medical, and he's right.
He goes crazy. He's like, do you take green shamrock or whatever? No, green cross.
Give him another sedative, damn it. Now listen to me. This may mean the difference between living and dying. Do you have health insurance?
Do you take Green Cross?
And so there's this satire with that and this funniness and this whole thing. And
the
and
EKG the very, shows leprechaun
And then there's also
things.
Where the leprechaun comes in a nurse uniform.
With the hat. He has his hat is in one of those nets too. Just
and then he tries to, he lures Tammy at some point to the morgue and tries to kill her. He says he's going to cut off her nose and cut up her face. And she's like, I don't have your coin. I never took it.
That's true. She didn't. She never did.
But she did help Scott. So she's in it. She's in it.
Little trivia facts. These are really interesting. Lee Armstrong, we mentioned, she quit acting after this film. Mitch tells Tammy that she's fired and will never get a job in show business again. Weird coincidence. She never acted again after this movie. Night of the Demons, that's right. So there's a weird shot where there's a priest with two women in the casino. That is actually, Rod McCoy is dressed as the priest as a homage to Night of the Demons 2. Also, his Night of the Demons 2 co-star, Christy Harris, is also seen.
I knew he was familiar, I just didn't know where he was from.
The final line in the film is a reference to the iconic lines of Casablanca. Yes, Scott does say that to Tammy. Oh, well, she, I don't know, something like Casablanca. I remember that.
Well, we won't be leaving it all behind.
What do you mean?
I found this. What do you think? We can have just about anything we want.
It's your call.
I don't know. I think I have everything I want.
You know something, sweetheart? This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
But again, are these people always just bonded together because of trauma?
He was a guy, she was a girl. Can I make it more anymore obvious? He had $100,000. She had no job.
Yeah. Oh,
so
damn.
He won $100,000. He's going to go to college and she's going to go with them. They're going to get out of, because there's always this cliche, or not even really is a cliche. There's always this thing when you go and hear about Vegas that people get stuck in Vegas. Somehow Vegas sucks you in. And it may be because you gamble and you lose everything. You're always hoping to regain some sort of luck to get yourself out. It's almost like, again, I make a reference to poor Tara in Buffy, where she's like, oh no, it's Glory. You're trapped in a dark room and this thing's trying to harm you. Just know if you could just find the way out or whatever, you know, yes. When she says that, or you'd get out and you'd be safe or whatever. It's like, there's always this thing that people go to Vegas to drown their sorrows, to forget, but they get lost there and they can't get out. And that is another thing.
I believe in Tammy Vegas.
Says that she basically says that she's trapped there in a way. So I think this is her clean break. They have $100,000. The $23,000 was enough to pay for his college. Extra. So I'm assuming they're going to go to LA, have a relationship. Even if they part, maybe he'll just give her some money, but I think they're together. They kiss. They're kind of like, they are trauma bonded.
Yes,
in a way.
That's
but
what
he
I'm
also,
thinking.
He also did follow her into the casino because he was attracted to her. And he did stand up for her, which she said, basically, in a way, no one has done that for her against
so,
Mitch.
So, you know what? I'll settle for you. I just met today.
It's not even she settled for him. She,
no, I'm only joking. He was nice.
She, you know, she at the end of the day, I know people, you know what the funny thing is? I know that people, you know, people don't want to ever be put into roles in life. Like, we want to say that we always do this. Well, women can do whatever men can. Yes, you can. But some people want to have traditional roles. Some people want to have, like, some women want to have a man that, I don't want to say take control, because it's not take control, but some people want their man to protect, to be the protector.
That, yes.
Some women want their man to be the provider while they are able to stay home and have a family. Because let me tell you something, that is a privilege these days to have a parent, whether it's a man, a woman, or whether you're in a same-sex couple,
truly,
or you're a man and a woman, to have a parent stay home and actually raise your children, because it is a privilege. And it's not a privilege that I have currently. So some people like that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So if she fell into that thing where she's like, Scott became her protector and he stood up for her, so be it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that that's, you know, we all have choices in life. And if that's what you like, I mean, I always said, you know, it's funny. I know 90, I don't want to say 90, probably about 80% of the gay men that I know want to just live this carefree, fun lifestyle where they just party. They're still at bars in their 40s and hooking up and that whatever. And they sometimes it puts me at odds with finding gay friends because they're like, oh, well, you have a family. You're in the suburbs.
Oh, like, gosh.
Like almost like you're tainted. I'm like, no, I wanted that. I wanted a house. I got a house. I wanted my kids and a dog and dogs and live in a house and get married.
That's
I got
exactly
what I wanted. That's what the role that I wanted for myself. I didn't want to be the CEO of a company. I didn't want to live. Money's great, but it's not my God. You know what I mean? We needed to survive, but I'm getting way too deep into this movie with Leprechaun 3. But the bottom line is, you know, you had made the statement. The bottom line is, I feel like, yes, they were trauma bonded, but yet Scott did stick up for her. And I think that was the turning point where she said he actually was going to go up to Mitch, who was even though he's a schmuck, he's a big shot. He could have Scott killed, basically.
Yeah.
And Scott still wanted to stand. And she goes, you're going to do that for me? Didn't she say that when they were going into the...
She was impressed. Yeah, she was happy.
You're going to do that? Like, go up to stand up for me to Mitch when they were going up to the elevator? She said, okay. So, and because she said this isn't the first time it's happened. So she was really distraught.
Yes, this has happened.
So she wanted that protection, even though Scott's kind of came up as like a country bumpkin, very out of his league, should not be there. So, yeah. That is, you know,
with
I tell a lot of people.
Souls.
When people say things like, you know, whatever, when they talk about like they want the bad boy, I say, you know what's sexy? Knowing where your man is at night. You know what's sexy? A man that brings home a paycheck.
Oh, wow.
And pays his bills. You know what's sexy? A man that takes care of his kids. You know what's sexy? A person that actually takes you the way you are and supports you.
Love
that's this. What's sexy. Not the one that you're worried about if he's screwing your best friend on the side. So you know what? Just a little advice to all of our listeners out there. If they want to take something from someone who may be a little older than, maybe not. You know what's sexy? Reliability. Because at the end of the day, you can still get great sex from someone who's reliable too. You don't have to be the bad boy.
Your car breaks down and you meet a nice man who's going to drive you to work and then defend your honor all in the same day.
And wins $100,000.
Oh,
via
wow.
A gold coin, cursed gold coin from a leprechaun that you defeated.
Well,
all
you know
in
what?
One day.
Now
all
I'm even
day.
More convinced. Now I'm
more
even
convinced.
More
and
convinced.
He's going to college. He's going to have a college degree. I hope it's not in graphic design though, you know, because everyone's a graphic designer now.
Well, he was a little ahead of the game. If he...
Oh, that's true. You know,
if he does that, he was inspired by that CD-ROM with the leprechaun.
He does leprechaun studies.
The ending, Dave, the whole climax was shot in one night, including the leprechaun soaring the magician in half with a chainsaw, the audience panicking, all 60 people flooding out of the room, Scott and Tammy rushing off the stage. But get this, our Scott, John Gattens, he became like a screenwriter after this. He wrote Coach Carter, Real Steel, Kong on Skull Island, the Power Rangers movie in 2017.
Ooh, well, good for him. He had a nice body.
He did have a nice body.
Good enough for Tammy, Ryan.
It was good enough for Tammy. So
good enough for me.
The original characters, David, from the second movie were supposed to be in this. So this was the original plot. The working title was Trial of the Leprechaun. It was set to be filmed directly after the then Bride of Leprechaun, which was supposed to be part two. It was planned to have half the budget of Bride, with Warwick's role being greatly reduced as other actors would be playing the leprechaun as he inhabited their bodies. Okay, Jason goes to hell, which I hate. Ian, that's the guy from the second one, would have appeared in Morty's place in many of the scenes following Bridget's capture. Basically, that guy Morty, remember Morty who died in the last one? He was like the older guy. He was going to join forces with the leprechaun, betray Cody, and then Cody was going to get blamed for all the murders. Bridget tries to tell the police the truth, but they don't believe her. Bridget starts working together with this Mandy, I don't know, to look for a lawyer and represent Cody. And then this next movie would have been this Trial of the Leprechaun. Leprechaun's spirit is fleeing and all this. I mean, there's a whole, it goes on and on and on. What could have been next year? We're going to space, David. We're going into space with our leprechaun.
Well, I'm going to wonder if I can pull out some moral or value out of the space one, because I don't know about that. I don't even remember the space one. We really didn't do the synopsis very well, this movie. We were all over the place. We started with poor Michelle Trachtenberg. We went into some moral dilemma.
That is the leprechaun. That is the leprechaun. That is what the leprechaun brings out in us, David.
Good job, Warwick.
We just wrapped up our Freaky Freezies contest. Congratulations to Daniel and David.
Not this David, not me.
Our friend David from Slash Vision podcast.
And our friend
Daniel from the Geeks with the Beards podcast. So happy you two won.
Please send us a picture when you get them. I'd love to see which ones you chose. And transform them. Maybe rub some ice on them if it's not cold. But
rub some ice on it.
I want everything. I want it all. Tell me you want it. Tell me you want it all. Thank you to Freezy Freakies, Freaky Freezies, as everyone says, because nobody really knows. I still love the fact that the company embraces that. They're like, we know that you say it both ways. Nobody knows. It's great. We love it. To me, that speaks to the heart of the company, too. It's like people embrace it.
And again, thank you to Hans from that company, because that was just so fun to bring our Radical Ones. All right, Radical Ones, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Eat your potatoes. Get the Lucky Irish. Don't go to the Lucky Shamrock. And if you see a guy with a gold coin, stand back.
Say no, Loretta.
Just say no.
It's got magical powers.
It's got powers.
And if you want magical powers, you can always follow David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. And the Radical Retro Rewind podcast, all one word, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and beyond. We are new next Friday with Double Thundercats once again. And then the following week, Rob will be here with The Mask.
Oh, do you know how many times they've played that movie at the gym? The Mask?
Really?
They play it all the time, yeah.
I have not seen
that
on TV.
They love the movie Love and Basketball, which I do like.
And The Mask.
The Mask. And Harry Potter movies. I've seen those about 1,000 times.
Well, there you go. Work out and watch those movies, Radical Ones. So, as always, stay radical, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Get your luck on.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.